You're listening to Cross the Border. We're continuing here in Lamentations, chapter 1, verse 5. Her adversaries are the chief. Her enemies prosper. For Yahuwah hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. And from the daughter of Zion all her beauty is departed. Her princes are become like harts that find no pasture, and they are gone without strength before the pursuer. Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction and of her miseries all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people fell into the land of the enemy, and none did help her. The adversaries saw her and did mock at her Sabbaths. Jerusalem hath grievously sinned. Therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backwards. Her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembered not her last end. Therefore she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter. O Yahuwah, behold my affliction, for the enemy hath magnified himself. The adversary hath spread out his hand upon all her pleasant things. For she hath seen that the heathen entered into her sanctuary, whom thou didst command that they should not enter in to thy congregation. All her people sigh. They seek bread. They have given their pleasant things for meat to relieve the soul. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am become vile. It is nothing to you, all ye that pass by. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith Yahuwah hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. From above hath he sent fire into my bones, and it prevaileth against them. He hath spread a net for my feet. He hath turned me back. He hath made me desolate and faint all the day. The yoke of my transgressions is bound by his hands. They are wreathed and come up upon my neck. He hath made my strength to fall. The Lord hath delivered me into their hands, and from whom I am not able to rise up. And that's what I see happening in the land where I live today. The yoke of transgression, bound by the hand of our Heavenly Father. And that's right. He binds people in their own transgression. He makes the strength of the nation to fall. Look around. There's no hope in the arm of flesh. There's no hope in elections. There's all of these things that people are looking to for hope. Oh, if we can get rid of the Fed, or if we can elect this guy to be the mouth of the beast, or that guy to be the mouth of the beast. No, that's not the problem. The problem is sin. The yoke of your transgression, the yoke of my transgressions. Here, Jeremiah is speaking as if he is the nation Israel. He is Judah. He is Jerusalem. He says, the yoke of my transgressions is bound. See, this is the lamentation of Judah, the lamentation of Israel at that time. What has come about? He says, the yoke is a heavy load. The yoke is a burden. It's a weight that brings you down, that slows you. You know, if you have an animal, you don't want such a heavy burden on the animal that it can't do the work that you need done. If the animal can pull 1,000 pounds, well, you don't want to put 2,000 on it, because it's going to stop. It's not going to work any longer. And that's what's happening here. The yoke of my transgression is bound by his hand. You know, I talk about the kingdom of God being a voluntary thing. that he is not a tyrant, that you can voluntarily enter into his kingdom and leave it. But he does judge nations, and he is judging this nation now as he's judged all nations throughout history. Everything that befalls nations, when nation rises against nation, it's all in judgment. It's how he deals with nations. If we've learned anything, going through the Old Testament, going through Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Lamentations, the Kings, is that how the Creator deals with nations. He judges them, that he uses one nation in his hand as a sword of judgment against another nation. If we learn anything, we should learn this. This is how we need to view what's going on around us. America is falling. America is stumbling under the yoke of transgression against his law. He does judge nations, but he's not a tyrant. He allowed the nation to go into it all by itself. He didn't keep you from falling. He didn't put a hook in your jaw and said, no, you can't sin. He said, well, you want to sin, but you know, I've warned you about that. If you want to go into transgression, if you want to ignore my law, I'm warning you what's going to happen. But go ahead. If you really want to do that, go ahead. I'm not going to stop you. And he lets you do it. And then he allows the yoke of transgression to weigh down upon you, to bring the whole nation down. Speaking of America as a whole, the yoke of my transgression is what Jeremiah is saying. If I could speak for America, if I could be a voice for the land of America, I could say, the yoke of my transgression is bound by his hand. Yeah, it's justice. And it's because he loves us. He's not going to allow us to fall into transgression and just flit around like there's no weight at all upon us, like nothing's happened. Go ahead, live in disobedience, and there's no price to be paid for it. That's right. Just go on as if it's nothing and lose everything, because there is an eternal consequence on an individual basis. And that's where the real lesson, that's the whole point, is he brings down a nation so that some in it may understand the eternal consequence and turn from their wicked ways and cross the border into his holy nation and obtain the prize, the eternal life, and endure in his kingdom, that holy nation, until the end. That's the purpose. The yoke of my transgression is bound by his hand. They are wreathed. Then they come up upon my neck. He hath made my strength to fall. Is America staggering under the yoke of its transgression? It looks like it is to me. And every nation that turns back will stagger and fall under the yoke of its transgression. And history just keeps repeating itself over and over, nation after nation, that perchance a few might repent, enter that holy nation, and obtain the prize provided by his Redeemer to each of one of us individually. That's the whole purpose, is that we might individually, because a nation cannot be saved unless the people turn as a whole, turn away from sin. But still, a nation cannot be saved because a nation is an image. It's an image of a thing that is in heaven. That is his holy nation, the kingdom of God. All these nations are just images. Now, where does a nation go astray? When it bows down to that image and it places that image above his holy nation. When it puts its own law above his law, then it's said to be worshiping the image or the beast. Because a beast is an unruly nation that has gone astray and put off the law of God. That's why nations are referred to as beasts in the scripture, because they're unruly. They're wild. They're not tamed by his law. They don't place themselves under it. They have gone astray and the yoke of their transgression will bring them down. He says, the Lord hath trodden underfoot all my mighty men in the midst of me. He hath called an assembly against me to crush my young men. Yeah, the assembly is the other nations that he uses against that nation that he is judging. And of course, the young men are the men of war. The Lord hath trodden the virgin, the daughter of Judah, as in a winepress. For these things I weep. Mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. And who is the enemy? Yeah, he brings an enemy, other nations in, or the enemy, those that oppress and place your children and you into slavery, make you tributaries of foreign gods, that brings in a foreigner to rule you like we have today, and a foreign monetary system to exact tribute of slavery out of you and your children like we have today. The enemy has prevailed. And you know, this is just the beginning, America. That's right. What comes after these things that we're already experiencing? What's left? Is the nation turning back? No, they're trusting in the arm of flesh. You got the whole Occupy movements and the get rid of the Fed movements. No, they're looking to the wrong things. They're not putting on sackcloth and ashes and repenting of their sins. That's where the hope lies. And then all of these other things would naturally follow. No, they want the things that should follow repentance to happen first, because they want to keep sinning. That's right. They want to keep sinning. So the enemy hath prevailed, and the enemy will continue to prevail. All that means is that severe judgment will come if the people don't turn away from their sins, if they don't turn to the Almighty and stop worshiping the state and placing the law of man above the law of God, so they can continue in abortion and idolatry and adultery and all of these other abominations that come with worshiping the beast and its image. So severe judgment will come. The tributary has come. You know, we become slaves in our own land, speaking for America. What's going to come next? Well, the sword and famine and pestilence. That's what's next. That's all that's left. The Heavenly Father's not going to say, oh, well, that's enough judgment. Yeah, I feel sorry for you guys. Go ahead and continue sinning, and we'll leave it at this level of judgment. Really? You really think that's going to happen? Our God is just. Not only that, he really does love us. You know, haven't you read it? You know, it's the good news. For God so loved the world, Yahuwah, the Almighty, for he so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And because he loves us, he must judge us. Because he is just, he must judge us. For our own good, for our own sake, he must judge the nation. Or he is not God. He will. It's been going on throughout history. Nations have risen, nations have fallen, nations have been judged and continue to be judged. And if he judged any other nation, especially, I mean, he judged his own nation. You know, this people that he set apart, and he called this nation by his own, they were called the Yahudi, the people called by his name, and he judged them. So how does America think it will be spared? If it can happen anywhere else, and it does happen anywhere else, it can and will happen here. Oh, I'd like to see a revival. I'd like to see the nation turn back. But I'm perhaps it's enough that a few will hear, and a few will listen, and a few will fear, learn the fear of the Almighty, and turn from their wicked ways, and be saved individually, enter into his kingdom, his holy nation, and learn obedience to his law and his word, and obtain eternal life for themselves, and then run that race of endurance and endure to the end of their mortal existence and be saved. It's enough for me. If enough people do that, yes, perhaps the hand of the Almighty and his judgment can be stayed. Perhaps the yoke of transgression can be lifted a little, but that's not what I see going on. I see everyone looking and accepting, walking in self-righteousness, pointing the finger at others and thinking, well, if we can do this thing with the arm of the flesh, or we can do that thing with the arm of the flesh, or we can get the right person to be the mouth of the beast, the arm of the flesh, that will save us as a nation, and we can have what we once had. But they don't realize, because they've been lied to for so long, that they had what they had, and then America became what it became because it followed principles that were founded in the law of the Almighty, a just weight and a balanced monetary system, and so many things, good things, out of the law of the Almighty that this nation was founded on. That's what made it great. That's right. That's what made it great. But now the blood of the innocent cries out to the Almighty from the ground. The children that had been murdered, and the children that sit fatherless in the land, that learn wickedness in the schools, in the godless schools of the beast state, and learn lies all day long, and learn that sinning is great, and it's okay, and it's wonderful. And if you have a child you don't want, why don't you just kill it? Because it's more important that you enjoy sexual promiscuity. It's more important that you enjoy this than that you be accountable or understand why the Almighty gave us that gift to begin with, and how we need to be accountable to Him for it. No, you're accountable to your own pleasure. And if something gets in the way of your pleasure, you kill it. What an education your children are getting in the public school system. What an education. Where God is not allowed, that's what they're learning. It's no wonder that the nation has gone astray and the yoke of transgression is weighing down so heavy upon the nation that it is staggering, and the young men are crushed, and the virgins are as in a wine press. Satan is having his way and his dominion. That's what it amounts to. Zion spreadeth forth her hands, and there is none to comfort her. The Lord has commanded concerning Jacob that his adversaries should be round about him. Jerusalem is as a menstruous woman among them. That means all the strength is gone. Can't stand. Here you have all of his enemies around him are bold as lions, but Jerusalem is as a menstruous woman among them. The Lord is righteous, for I have rebelled against his commandment. Jeremiah, of course, speaking for his nation. Personification, taking on the personification of the nation, saying, Yahuwah is righteous, for I have rebelled against his commandment. So I could say that, Yahuwah, the Creator, the Almighty, is righteous, and I, America, have rebelled against his commandment. Hear, I pray, you all people, and behold my sorrow. My virgins and my young men are gone into captivity. And like I said, right in America, they're in captivity. Your children go to be schooled in the temples of Satan. I call that captivity. You work with a slave number, and they lay tribute on you at every turn so that they take almost all your money. And they pass laws that you have to pay certain people, you know, it's all with good intentions. They deceive you. But it's tributary, it's slavery, it's forced servitude nonetheless. If they mandate that you have to buy things that you want and participate in things that you have no desire to do, they call it insurance, and they tell you that it's all for your own good. Social insurance, auto insurance, and you tax your property, and if you don't pay that rent every month, oh, you think you own it. Even if you paid for it and it's free and clear, supposedly, it's not free and clear. You still got to pay rent every month. I know how that works. So I called for my lovers, yes, but they deceived me. Oh, my priests and mine elders gave up the ghost in the city while they sought their meat to relieve their souls. Now, that sounds like the pastors and the preachers of today with their corporate churches. Oh, they seek meat to relieve their souls. You know, they got their 501c3 status so they can collect their tax-exempt donations from you. And then they have their pension plans and their health plans and their salaries. That's right. They deceive you. They're looking out for themselves. They lead you up to the kingdom, but they don't suffer you to enter because they don't go in themselves. That's right. And here's how that goes. They tell you, oh, you know, repeat after me, say the magic words and you know, be a good, obedient little corporate churchist, and you'll get to go to heaven when you die. You know, I read those gospels through and through, and I couldn't find that anywhere, you know, where it said Jesus said, repent, so you can go to heaven when you die. No, that's not the same. That's a different gospel. The repent so you can go to heaven when you die gospel. Yeah, that's a different gospel. That's not the one that Jesus preached. I couldn't find that anywhere in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John gospels. Repent so you can go to heaven when you die. No, I read a different gospel. You know, that's why I'm sitting here doing what I'm doing, because I think, well, I'm not better than my master. I'm not better than the Messiah that I can make up my own gospel. I better preach the same gospel that he preached, and that's the gospel of the kingdom. So I preach and I bid all cross the border into his kingdom and obtain eternal life. Endure to the end and you will be saved. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. Seek first his kingdom. That means to put it first place in your life before everything else. Put his kingdom in first place. Make it preeminent in your life. And he says that, hey, then you don't have to worry about anything else. I'll take care of you. You seek first my kingdom. And that's to learn obedience. There's no lazy way there in his kingdom. I'll tell you what, you enter in his kingdom, you're going to be busy, because you're going to be working every day to build his kingdom. You're going to be working for a kingdom that will last forever and a reward that will never end, where moth doesn't corrupt nor rust. Moth or rust does not corrupt, neither do thieves steal in, break in and steal, because it's going into a kingdom that will last forever. That's where your reward is. That's what we're working for in the kingdom of heaven, that holy nation. And our Heavenly Father, the King, will put you to work if you're willing, but it is voluntary. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border. Visit my website. That's crosstheborder.org. Take advantage of the videos, the resources, and the teachings there, and spread it around.